We come in Jesus' name. We humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring in our treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this morning we're going to continue our study in God's word. In our last lesson, we stopped in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we were examining the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I told us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are temporary, underlining the word temporary, releasing of the Spirit without measure in the areas of revelation, in the area of power, and in the area of speaking. We have three groups of gifts: the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernings of spirits. And then in the power gifts, we have the gift of what is known as special faith. It's not the ordinary faith we used to get born again, or the ordinary faith used for healing and prosperity and all of that. It's special faith because it's the same kind of faith that God has. Now, all of us have the God kind of faith, but we have it in a measure. But when you're given special faith, you now have it, as it were, in the same measure that God has it, so that when you say something, it will happen instantly. Special faith always, always, always produces workings of miracles. A working of a miracle is a temporary suspension of natural laws. Now, that's why the temporary thing is not something that happens every day. You know, something like the splitting of the Red Sea is a working of a miracle. You know, Joshua telling the sun to stand still in the valley of Ajalon. Now, of course, we know now from science that the sun didn't stand still. What God does is just put his hand on the earth and he stopped rotating for 24 hours and then he released it and it continued to rotate. You know, and things like that. The axe head in Elisha that, you know, rose up in the water, and such like. Turning water to wine is workings of miracles. It doesn't happen every day. You know, walking on water is workings of miracles, you know, and so on. So, and then the other gift in that group is gifts of healings. It's in plural, Derek Prince taught us that, because you have different, there's some people who have a gift for cancer. Some, you know, let me correct that. It's not that you have a gift. You know, when the gifts of healing is in operation, right? Through some people, it operates, you know, such that there are specialized healings. There's some people it's cancer. Some people is like old Wigglesworth. He had something for appendicitis, you know, and different types of, you know, some people is blind. You know, they pray for the blind. And that gift is in operation, the eyes of the blind, you know, will pop open instantly. Some people is deaf and dumb, you know, and somebody has an anointing or a gift in the area of cancer. That gift would not produce instant results if it was applied to, somebody who was dumb and deaf. You know, so you have specialized gifts. You know, that's why it's gifts, plural, of healings, plural. You know, and then of course you have the vocal gifts, which are the gifts that say something, which are prophecy. Prophecy is speaking again under unction. You know, so that it's man talking, but it's actually God speaking through man. You know, with the power of the Spirit of God upon the vessel, so that what he's saying is not from his mind, it's from the mind of God, just using his vocal cords to express what God is saying. And then, of course, you have diversities of tongues and interpretations of tongues. And I mentioned this last week. The reason why they say interpretations is because you can have an utterance, and a more mature person can give a more precise interpretation than a less mature person. They both pick it from the Holy Ghost, but one person would say, you know, would say, for example, I give the example, you know, just using natural Yoruba language, you know, igigogoroma gumiloju okirelatinwo. Now, what that literally means, the translation, is that a piece of stick or, you know, a branch of a tree or something, you know, that is long, you know, I'm not going to put my eyes near it so that it will not prick my eyes. That's what it means literally. But the actual translation, one person can give an interpretation and says, be very careful. Another person can give another translation and says, abstain from all appearance of evil. They're saying the same thing, but probably one is clearer than the other, depending on the maturity of the vessel and his ability to pick, you know, just like a radio signal. You know, you can pick from the Holy Spirit, and some people will pick, and there'll still be some static. You know, in radio technology, I did communication engineering in Imperial College, so I know a little bit about that. When you tune, depending on the type of components you have inside the radio, if you have some very, very precise, we have what is known as a Q circuit. Well, don't let me go into all of that. You know, but you must get the frequency precisely. So what is actually done is that you have all kinds of components, resistors, capacitors, inductors, you know, and all of that. Now, if you tune it correctly, you know, and you do your mathematics, they've done all of that now because of integrated circuits, you know, you can do it such that it picks just that frequency, and it will not pick anything, you know, say the frequency is 10 gigahertz, it won't pick 10.1, it won't pick 10.2, it will pick only 10. If the design by the electrical engineer is very, very good, and he uses very precise components, so he'll only pick 10 point, he'll only pick 10. He won't even pick 10.01. So if there's a signal around us whose frequency is 10.01, the filters are so accurate that it will filter out the 10.01. It will filter out the 10, you know, the 10.02. It will only pick the 10. And then when you tune your radio and you get to that 10, that's the only sound you will hear. It will be clear. Whereas if you get another radio that's made in some other places, we won't mention their names. Isn't it amazing? You know, we're laughing now. I remember when I was a kid, I'm talking about in the 60s. I'm talking about in 1965, 66, 67. They used to make fun of Japanese radios. I still remember, you know, because they were not as good as Philips or Grundig. Some of you won't even know what that is. You know, Philip and Grundig were German, you know, and I remember, you know, we had a radio in our house, and my auntie and some other people, you know, they had these very precise radios, pick the right signal, boom, you know, whereas if you use the Japanese, dead. But the Japanese have overtaken them now, you know, if you used it, then you will hear it, but you could, you got some static. Spiritually, it's the same thing. It depends on the maturity of the vessel. You know, he can pick what God is saying, but he picks it with some static. So he might add something to it that is not totally, you know, he gets the essence of it, but he doesn't get, you know. So that's why it's interpretations of tongues, you know, and these gifts, and that's what they are, they're gifts, they're temporary anointings. Why? Because the church has not yet matured enough, as we're going to see as we go on in these teachings, you know, to have the Spirit without measure on a permanent basis. So God gives the Spirit without measure on a temporary basis in these different manifestations: revelation, healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Now, it is very crucial. Let's go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I stopped in verse 11, and I'm going to take it from there this morning. It says, but all these worketh, all of them, that is revelation gifts, you know, power gifts, utterance gifts, worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Everybody scream it out, as he will. I didn't hear you. Now, that is something a lot of the Pentecostals and charismatic people have ignored in the last 50 years. And it has led to a contamination and corruption of the gifts of the Spirit, so much so that in many places there's been almost a total withdrawal of the real thing. Not complete, but almost total. I remember when I first got born again, I got born again in 1979, and I had the, in 79. Then I finished my youth corps, then I came to Lagos, and I went to London. You know, my pastor, Bernard and Ida Porter, two, you know, husband and wife, English people, you know, they got baptized. Pastor Porter got baptized in 1934 or something. Mrs. Porter got born again in 1912 or something. You know, they got filled with the Holy Spirit in the 30s. This is before World War II. You know, and anyway, I had that honor and privilege. It was God who led me, you know, to that church. And I used to operate these gifts with them. Pastor Porter had a gift of interpretations of tongues, and so did Mrs. Porter. I would sometimes, not every day, but it was happening on a fairly regular basis, at least minimum once every 2 weeks. You know, an anointing. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to pray a lot in tongues, as I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. So one day I went to church, you know, and this thing is like a cloak. It's not visible, but you know if somebody is behind you, you will feel an aura. You will feel the presence. You may not see the person, but you know. That's, I know exactly how it operates. It's like a cloak. So it came upon me in the service. And the next thing I knew, I just got up and spoke in tongues. And Mrs. Porter just got up and interpreted what I said. I was shocked. You know? And so then I understood that it was gifts of the Spirit. So it started happening on a pretty regular basis. You know, sometimes it would be Pastor Porter, sometimes it would be Mrs. Porter, and they would interpret, you know, and it was very regular. Then I came to Nigeria, and I discovered that those things, you didn't see them. You didn't hear them. IVCU, that is University of Ibadan Christian Union, and some of the other, would have prophecy on a fairly regular basis sometimes, you know. But it wasn't like... And then, I'm talking about 1980, 1981, 82, 83. By the time we started Scripture Pasture in 84, 85, 86, I observed that the frequency of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit had drastically dropped. I didn't wasn't bothered by that because I would just teach the word. Because I heard from Hagen, he said, the Spirit is not in operation. Don't try and force it. It's as He wills. It's not as you will. So, and over the years, what happened was that there was a drastic reduction in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Even in America, you know, I remember the first camp meeting I went to. I went to camp meeting in 1980. And then I went to America again in 1981, where I went to Rhema, you know, and I saw some degree of manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. But I know, after that, you know, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, the mid-80s into the early 90s, the manifestations, they dropped. They were not like they used to be. And at that time, I didn't understand it. I just, but I noticed it anyway. Then when I saw what I saw happen here in Nigeria, and it's not only here, we learned a lot of it from the Americans, was that people were not trying to activate the gifts. In fact, they tell you they have this so-called school of prophets. Then they'll teach you, they'll come and start teaching you, you know, how to activate. They open the door to familiar spirits. And what we have today, in a lot of places, are corrupted gifts. Because it is man who is trying to do something without the unction. I know how it operates because I've operated it to some degree. You know, if that mantle is an unction, it's from above because I've done it. And I know when it's there, I know when it's not there. Even in our services here, you know, I give prophetic words sometimes, but it's not every Sunday. I don't just open my mouth just to say something. You know, that it's like a coat. It's like a cloak. It comes upon you, and then God will give you the first few words, and then I just open, and then it's like opening a tap. The thing will just flow out. And then once it finishes, it's like off. At least that I operate on a fairly regular basis, prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues, you know. But generally speaking, you hardly see those things anymore, you know. And what you see in a lot of is fake word of knowledge, fake word of wisdom. When I say fake, I don't mean it doesn't work. I mean it's not from God. Counterfeit, you know. And most of it is directed towards covetousness, you know, some material blessing that the people want, you know, and because the people are hungry for that kind of thing and they have refused to take heed to this admonition as He wills, Satan has come in and he has muddied the waters. He has corrupted the gift, you know, and that's very, very common now. But the good news, or bad news, depending on which side of the fence you're sitting on, is God is going to clean the house out. All these corrupted prophets are going to be judged. They either repent or they will be removed. Trust me, God is going to have a glorious church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Now, in order to talk a little bit more about this, I want to use a few personal examples, but before I do that, quickly go to Deuteronomy chapter 13 in the Old Testament. What I'm about to teach you is of great importance. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit of God. And imminent tomorrow is trumpets. We're all going to be here. We're going to start our 3-day fast. I want to advise you not to miss these fasting and prayer meetings. If you're in town, make sure you're here physically. If you're out of town, make sure you join us online. You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know it's going to be very significant. When I say I don't know, I don't know the details, but I know that it's a prophetic fast. I didn't plan it. It so happens that it's the first day of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which is also known as the Feast of Trumpets. And it so happens, you know, I find it very, very instructive and illuminating that they were in a prayer meeting on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. So I'm expecting that as we come and we pray, it may not necessarily happen that day, but, you know, there will be some move of God within this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, starting from tomorrow. So you don't want to miss church. Anyway, having said that, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 13, and where in the world are we? Right. Now let's look at verse 1. I'm going to look at verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. This is God's judgment on counterfeit. I don't even like to use the word. The most accurate word is corrupted prophets. Some are false prophets. See, those who are not born again at all. They weren't born again at all. And they're operating primarily through evil spirits. Those are false prophets. But there are those who are born again, originally had the gifts of the Spirit in their lives, like Saul. Then an evil spirit from the Lord, or allowed by God, had, because they did not develop their character, has been able to come in and, you know, corrupted the gift. And that's what we're going to be dealing with, because we're going to see with this fulfillment of Feast of Tabernacles is coming, and there's going to be a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And many of these gifts are going to be restored. And we're going to see, you know, wonderful healings and manifestations and the power of God in operation, you know, in these next few weeks and into, you know, once it starts, it won't stop. It'll go on, get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, into the end of the year, into 2023 and so on, until Jesus comes. At the same time, Satan will try to infiltrate and use corrupted prophets to come and spoil the work of God. Don't forget that when God sent Moses to Egypt, Moses threw his rod down, it became a snake. Then Pharaoh, typifying the devil, you know, and his people, they threw their rods and they became snakes. But one snake ate up the other two snakes. But let's leave that for them. The important thing is that both of them became snakes. So, and we see in the book of Exodus that every miracle Moses did to a particular point, I think up to lice or somewhere, you know, they were able to duplicate them. In other words, Satan does have spiritual power. And he can and he does do miracles. So when we say it's fake, we don't mean it didn't work. We just mean it didn't come from God. Is this clear? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you, ever say among you. Say it again. Say it again. Not from outside, inside the church. If there arise among you. I didn't hear you. A dreamer of dreams that giveth thee a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. It works. How foolish can we get? Many of us in the church are really foolish. That's why he called us foolish virgins. Because we don't have wisdom and understanding. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you or tests you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk, I didn't hear you, after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5. We'll stop there. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death. This is going to happen. God himself is going to do this judgment now. False, corrupted prophets that try and infiltrate the church will be killed. Nobody said amen to that. They will be killed by God. They will be killed by God. I want to give an example from the scripture. There was this guy, Bar Jesus. I remember, some people haven't read their Bible enough. There was this sorcerer. He was doing a lot of miracles, in Samaria. And he was deceiving the people. Then Peter and John came and got the people born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, and great manifestations were happening, gifts, people speaking in tongues. So this man saw it, and he became a Christian. He accepted Christ, he was baptized, in water and all of that. And he began to follow Peter and John around. And then, his covetousness, which is, that was what was motivating him before to do all of these things, was still there, even though he had been born again. His motivation and all of that, his covetousness was still there. And you know what happened? What happened was that, he now asked Peter. He said, give me this gift. I will give you money. You know what God said? You know what Peter said? He said, your money perish with you. Because you thought that, the gift of God can be bought with money. Nothing has changed today. Same thing. The bottom line in all this is always money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know what happened? Peter spoke very sternly to him. And then he begged Peter that, I pray, ask God to forgive me. So those kind of guys are going to be in the church today. They'll be from amongst us. But they will be put to death. Hello? Because he has spoken. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you? Why are you getting nervous when we say God's going to kill people who do bad things? You're not planning to do anything bad, so why should you be nervous? It's God, you don't know God that well. You think God is just this Father Christmas. He's not. He is the God of the whole earth. The judge of the whole earth. He's God. He's love. In fact, it's love that makes him do this. So he says, and that he shall be put to death. Everybody says, shall be put to death. Because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. And so on and so forth. Let me stop there. The point is, if a manifestation occurs, some healing, some sign, some wonder, but the end result is to draw you away onto other gods. Now, today, other gods are not Shango and Ifa and, and some, deity and an idol. No. In those days it was. But today it's not. Today it's covetousness. The Bible says so clearly, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5, I think Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5 too, it says, covetousness is idolatry. And that's what Satan has played on. He has used covetousness as a cloak for prosperity to bring in these corrupted gifts, and so many people in the church have been deceived by it. But God is going to sanitize the church. Hallelujah. He's going to kill them for those who don't repent. Now, usually God, because he's kind, he will give them a chance to change. If they don't change, he'll deal with them. So that's coming. And that's why we need now to be able to discern between what is genuine and what is counterfeit. Again, counterfeit doesn't mean it didn't work. It just means it didn't come from God. And it leads you to covetousness. Have you noticed that in many of these, there are so-called word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, and all of that. You always have to bring money to the man of God. Have you noticed that? What's wrong with you this morning? I said, have you noticed that? It's always, you know, it's always tied to money. You know, I remember Brother Bank, I call Akimola, my friend, you know, told me this story. You know, he and Papa Ralph, you know, this true story that happened in Bank's church. This is many years ago. You know, this so-called prophet, prophet. You know, he was Christian, born again, spirit-filled, not an unbeliever. You know, came to his church, came to Brother Bank's church, you know, and he began to give a prophetic word to people, you know, and Brother Bank said, man, OJ, that guy read your mail. He'll tell you exactly, and you know, only God could have known. He'll tell you maybe what you told your wife or what happened. So he said, but the funny thing was that, you know, he charged money for it. So if you wanted a particular type of prophetic word, you had to bring an offering of, I don't remember the exact figures, but it was maybe about $1,000, you know. And if you brought, you know, if you brought $1,000, then you get a very high, you get a very accurate, you know, very detailed, spectacular prophetic word. If you brought $500, you get a word, but it will not be as so. If you brought something like $10 or $20, you just get God bless you. True story. True story. It actually happened. And it didn't stop. It's still happening. You know, I've been in meetings, or I have seen meetings where they'll tell you, you know, if you step in this place and you bring 100,000, there's a particular kind of blessing you're going to get. You know, or healing, or you want looking for a husband, or you're looking for a job, or whatever. You know, and if you give 10 million, I mean, there was one meeting somebody was in, you know, and somebody said to them, he said, look, all the people who can give at least 10 million naira should wait behind, that they're going to have a special ministration. So at the end of the meeting, all those people who could give 10 million naira waited, and the man, you know, ministered to them and prayed for them, and somebody was testifying to him. He said, it worked. So the people who don't have 10 million naira can't be blessed. It's counterfeit. I didn't say it didn't work. It's this. And it's endemic. The church is full of it. Because we disobey this basic injunction as the Spirit wills. So the internet is full of it, but even before we had YouTube and all of that. I remember years and years ago, I didn't allow it in Scripture Pasture. I didn't allow it here. You know, I said, you know, let them come and do a school of the prophets. Let them come and activate prophecy. Once you start doing that, and you start doing things as man wills, you open the door for demonic spirits. And they will come in, they will cause things to come to pass, but they will draw you away to covetousness, you know. But all that is going to be flushed out. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. I was under instruction by the Holy Spirit to explain that in detail, and I still have another message which I'm going to preach in some weeks' time, especially once the glory comes and we start seeing the manifestation. Is that I must teach how to identify false and corrupted prophets. You must know how to identify them, because they will come, just like when they came with Moses, Jannes and Jambres, you know. They're always there, just like that guy, Elimelech the sorcerer. You know, you always have these people, these false prophets. Anywhere the church, it says from among us. From among us. So, you know, we're going to be on the lookout for that. Now, let me give you one or two personal experiences about the operational gifts of prophecy. I think I shared this in church recently, but because I'm teaching this, you know, topically now from this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll just mention it. You know, in my personal life and experience, I've had this experience of prophecy working, you know, in my life. The first time I was going to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting from England, I didn't have money. I had bought my ticket months and months and I didn't have a visa. I didn't have the money. I was believing God for the money with my faith, but it hadn't come. And it came to the day when I had to travel. So by faith, I wouldn't do that today. I'm more mature now. But God saw my heart and God had mercy on me and he helped me. So I went to the airport, you know, and I said, sorry, Mr. Johnson, we can't fly. You don't have a visa. So you need to go back to the American embassy. And to cut a long story short, you know, I had to go back to the American embassy. In those days, it wasn't like today. It's so easy. I showed them my ID card from Imperial College. And, you know, then a friend of mine said, God spoke to him and said, he should give me, I think, $1,000 or something. You know, and so the money came. But to appreciate that story, what happened was that this was Monday. On Sunday night in church, in that little Assembly of God church in Paddington with Pastor Porter and his wife, that evening, because I was going to travel the next day, I didn't, you know, there was one woman who came to church. Till today, I can't remember that woman. Till today. She wasn't one of our regular people. She just came to the service that night. She was sitting somewhere at the back. The church was a small church. The whole church would be maybe the whole of this section here. You know, it wasn't a big church. Maybe take about maybe 70 people, maybe 100, you know. So anyway, the woman was there. So they were just about to say the grace and close the service. She just got up and she gave a prophetic word. And she said, my son, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I will provide the money. You'll be able to go and everything's going to be all right. Believe in the Lord thy God. I knew it was for me. That woman didn't know me from Adam. She didn't even know what I was going to. I don't even know her. If I saw her today, I won't recognize her. She was an elderly woman. I think she was English or West Indian or something, you know. She was white, you know. Anyway, she gave that word. That was the word. That word. Ah, I said, God knows. So, and that very day, the Monday, I went to the airport, came back, somebody provided the money, went to the American embassy. They gave me the visa instantly, went back to Heathrow because the plane had left. The plane left at 10 o'clock. This was about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I came back, you know, from American embassy. Went straight to Heathrow and said, look, I was supposed to be on, it was a 2 TWA flight. I said, I was supposed to be on this flight, you know, and I missed the flight because, you know, and it was a special ticket because I, you know, cheap ticket for students, you know, you miss it, that's it. So they said to me, said, look, I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, this is a special ticket, you've missed it, you know. I said, can I speak to anybody here? He said, yes, we have a supervisor. You know, that word, that prophetic word, you know, that I had received the night before was pushing me, telling me God spoke. I knew it was God because that woman didn't know me. And she didn't know what I was going through. She didn't know my situation. You know, this is the real thing in operation. So I went to there was this elderly man who was, you know, he had white hair, white guy, you know, supervisor. So they said, you know, go and see him. So I went to see him. So he said, what can I do for you, young man, American, you know? I said, I'm a student, postgrad student in Imperial College. I was to go to this. I had this Word of Faith magazine. God's so kind. I had my Word of Faith magazine inside my hand. I opened it. I showed the man, you know, Ken Hagen, that they were having this cab meeting and I had bought my ticket, but I didn't get my visa. I had to go to the American embassy to get my visa. And they said, I've missed the plane. That please, could he help me? He just looked at me as if I was his son. He had a twinkle in his eye. He said, don't worry. He said, you come tomorrow, I'll put you on the plane. And that's how I went. True story. Fast forward to, I came back to Nigeria, December of that year. I was driving Brother Yemi Ayodele and Brother Emiko, you know. So we went for this Redeemed Christian Church of God. That time, Pastor Adeboye had not yet become the GO. He was in a transition. They finally made him the GO. And he was a little bit afraid. You know, I was in the meeting, you know, he was a lecturer at that time in University of Lagos. And it was in his sitting room, in his house, you know. So I happened to be there simply because I drew Brother Yemi Ayodele, you know. And Brian said, come, sit down. So I sat down, you know, in the sitting room there, you know. And all, there were some guys from Kenneth Hagin Ministries, you know, some white guys, Paul and Lois, Micus, and Sam Whaley, at least I remember those names, you know, and some guys, you know. So they asked Pastor Adeboye to kneel down in the middle of the sitting room and his wife, you know, and they prayed. So when they prayed, I think it was Lois. Lois is the wife, you know, Micus, I can't remember exactly, you know, brought a prophetic word, you know, as they were praying and said, look, you're going to be general overseer. Don't worry, I'll take care of everything and everything. So, you know, I joined in that prayer, of course. I just kept my mouth shut, just prayed in tongues, you know. So later that year, you know, this was, yeah, it was that December. They now had this meeting in Oyo. You know, they used to call it Congress. So I went, because I drove Brother Yemi Ayodele. You know, I was their driver. You know, so I went with them, you know, and we were all fellowshipping together. They were teaching the mornings and all that. So one evening, you know, one of the evening meeting, after the evening meeting, we were all staying in the same place. You know, they had this, it was like kind of dormitory, but they had a place for ministers. So all the Kenneth Hagin guys were staying there. I was staying there. So what happened was that one of the Kenneth Hagin guys, you know, who, you know, because we had been sharing the word, I told him my experience, how I was in England, blah, 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 blah. So he now said, Alubi, come here. He said, the Lord has a word for you. So he said, I should kneel down. Then he began to prophesy. He started praying. Then from prayer, he shifted. And he began to prophesy. And he said, my son, I am the one who have called you. I've asked you to come back. Don't worry, everything is going to be okay. Because, of course, I was under a lot of pressure coming back to Nigeria and all of that. In addition to that, I won't show you how the real thing works. You know, while I was in England, before I came back, the night, they Pastor Porter said they should pray for me and all the elders of the church. So they called me to the front because I was going back to Nigeria, I think, the next day. You know, so they called me and they just to pray for me and send me off. Then a guy from Scotland who I didn't know, his name is Dennis Beattie. Mommy Sarah met him, you know, I think 1985 when we went to England. I took Sarah to go and greet them, you know. He walks up from the back of the church. He's not a member of our church. He's from Scotland. He walks up from the back of the church and joins the leadership that is praying for me. They pray. Then they finish praying and then he brings a prophetic word. I have a copy of it. It's somewhere in the church office. I'm going to go and dig it out. You know, a lot of it has come to pass. Some of it has not yet come to pass. Because then I'm still going to go to continents. I haven't gone to continents yet. But I remember that, you know. Yeah. You know, but he said specifically about the word of life. He said, you will teach my people about the word of life. That I might even understand all of that. You know, and brought a powerful prophetic word. What did that word do? It confirmed, it clarified, and it amplified. It was comfort, edification, and exhortation. Those words, when we came back tonight in Nigeria, and when I had my rough years, I could always go back as a reference point. And I knew it was God. Because those people had no physical connection with me. They had nothing to do, you know, they didn't know anything about my life, really. So, what I'm saying is that the real exists, but the counterfeit also exists. And the church has, through not letting it be as the spirit wills, all those ones, it was the spirit wills. That woman who prophesied in the church in London, it was spirit wills. She didn't know anything about me, you know. Dennis Beattie from Scotland, this is spirit wills. He didn't know anything about me, you know. Sam Whaley, it was spirit wills. He didn't know anything about me. You know, these are people, they were total strangers to me when I first met them. So, what I'm saying to you is that it's not this world where, you know, I'm going to give something. And I never gave a kobo. Not one penny was I asked to give so that I could get a prophetic word. Satan has corrupted the system. But God is restoring it. Amen. So we need to understand how the gifts operate. They operate as the Spirit wills. And it's usually clear. It will be clear it is God. You know, there will be no ambiguity or anything. That's why I give you those examples. Furthermore, you know, it does not involve a financial transaction. Please. That's once you see money, run. It's not God. Did you notice that Jesus did not ask the woman with the issue of blood for a special offering before she could tap into the anointing? She just tapped into it by faith. So people who don't have money can't tap into the anointing, according to our people today. If you want a miracle now, you know, those are people, you know, you have to, like the 10 million naira one I told you about. It's fake. When I say it's fake, I didn't mean it didn't work. It works. But it's not from God. It's corrupted. And we need to be aware of those things. But the good news is that the real thing is on the way. There's going to be a restoration. If I don't talk about it today, I'll talk about it next week. There's going to be, I preached about it the other day when I talked about reigning righteousness. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad, you children of, you know, Zion. He will give you the former and the latter reign together. Then in verse 20, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams and so on and so on. There's going to be a fresh, God has suspended it for some time. We haven't seen much of the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation in the last 40 years because of these abuses. But there's going to be restored now a fresh outpouring. But watch this. It is going to come on vessels of gold and silver. If the vessel is not, You will not see much manifestation. Are you listening to me? The more sanctified the vessel is, the more God will pour. The less God will pour. Because this move will not be corrupted. And those who get it and try to corrupt it will be killed. God, and put the fear of God in the whole church so that the manifestation will remain pure until Jesus comes. Give the Lord a clap offering. So you better, you know, everybody needs to wake up. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, Jesus, help me. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there we go. So now, from gifts of the Spirit, we're going to come back to that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he goes back to prophecy and we're going to deal with that. But, you know, he now begins to talk about the body. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual. The word gifts was italicized. So it wasn't just talking about the gifts, talking about spiritual things, including the body of Christ. Now, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. That's whether we, in those days they had slaves, you know, they had slaves, whether you're a slave or you're free, you know, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body, I didn't hear you, is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an ear, or were an eye, excuse me, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, I didn't hear you, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. not the members. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, are there many members, yet one body? Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I'm going to stop there because the next verse goes into ministry gifts, which I'll not deal with today. I'll deal with that another time. But my next lesson. Now, the thing we need to understand is this. The body of Christ is a spiritual organism. How can I explain this? In the beginning, God. I would say in the beginning, God. But what is God? Three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything we see today, everything that exists in the stars, the planets, you know, all came out of God. So God took from himself and created the material universe. Let me rewind. God took out from himself to create firstly the spiritual world. Heaven didn't exist before God made it. Angels didn't exist before God made them. All of that came out of God. And when I say God, now I'm talking about the three persons. Each person contributed a part of himself to create creation. God gave me this understanding many years ago, and I've shared this in some of my books and all that. The Father was like the architect. That does the design. Actually, let me just say this. And I say this with all reverence, and it's the truth. No one person of the Godhead does anything in isolation. They always do something. Everything that they do it in consultation. So even God does the design, but he was asked Jesus, asked the Holy Spirit. They can put in their own, you know, contributions and all of that. Everything is on consensus. And that's what we must learn. A lot of Christians haven't learned that. If you have an independent spirit, you are not of God. God is not independent. God is interdependent. So you got three persons of the Godhead. No one person of the Godhead is independent of the other two. All of them, you know, co-equal, co-eternal. Anyway, so they made everything. Then they now made the material, the physical universe that we can see. Again, out from themselves. The Father like the architect. The Son is like the supplier or the contractor that provides the material when the thing is done. Then the Holy Spirit is like the builder. He's the one that takes the material that the Son has provided, and then he builds it according to the design of the Father. God gave me that understanding many years ago. You know, it's an understanding of how God operates. So anyway, I said all of that to say this. When it came to the body of Christ and the creation of the church, one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's why the Bible says, by him, you know, in him are all things. One person, God took a significant portion of his eternal being, and he divided it into many, many tiny parts. That is why it is the body of Christ. It is Jesus that has now been subdivided into different parts that form individuals, members, that you and I are now. What actually happened? If you can understand this, if you can receive it, receive. If you can't receive it, just chew on it. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation and understanding with time. When he left heaven, he was stripped temporarily of his divine omnipotence, his divine omniscience, his divine omnipresence, because he was God. Then he became a man. Now that divine omnipotence, that divine omniscience, that divine omnipresence was stored in trust with the two other persons of the Godhead while he was here as a man operating by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. With all the limitations of humanity, he didn't know everything, he couldn't do everything, he grew in wisdom and in stature. But, if you can understand, if you can receive it, receive it. If you can't receive it, go and chew on it. But it's reality. When he was raised from the dead, when God, he died on the cross, then he went to hell. Then God was satisfied that the demands of justice had been met. He had suffered, for 3 days and three. Then the Holy Ghost now raised him from the dead. He was raised with that divine omnipotence that he had before. But he was now going to share it with his people. Hallelujah! Oh. Look at Psalm 139. Oh, Jesus help me. Look at Psalm 139. May God have mercy on us. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Give me fresh revelation. Give me fresh understanding of who you are and what you have done. Right. Then, look at verse 13. Let me go to verse 15. Because that's really where I'm going to zero in on. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought. Where? You know where we were created? In hell. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, he didn't raise Jesus only. He raised Jesus with his omnipotence and all that, but then he shared it. So that's why anybody who believes Jesus died for his sins and was raised again from the dead is plugged into the body and becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Look at what he said in the next verse. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, that is, or incomplete. Everybody didn't get born again that day. And in thy book, all my members, Olubi, Sarah, Boyka, John, Paul, Peter, all my, we are members of the body of Christ, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. A super clap offering for the Lord. So literally, when Jesus, that's what Paul was trying to get us to understand in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, that God will give the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But you and I were a part of that raising. When you, that was done in the spirit. When you now, in 2010 or 1979, like me, accept Christ and get born again, you're not plugged in. But every one of us is a member of the body of Christ. Literally, that's what it is. So what God did was that he's divided Jesus, the second person of God, into millions of parts. And you and I Become a part of that. And just like, stand to your feet, I got to stop. Just like the three persons of the Godhead operate, we are to operate in the same modus operandi. That's why I said, that they may be one, even as we are one. They are not independent, they are interdependent. No one person, no one member of the body of Christ can hold the whole body to ransom. No one member is independent. The eye cannot say to the head, I have no need of thee. We need one another. We're supposed to edify and strengthen one another. And I got to close with this. I'll pick it up next week. Another thing is that your position in the body is dynamic because of growth. When you get born again, you get born again somewhere down here. As you grow, and your growth rate, it depends on you. As you grow, your position changes. So maybe you are somewhere at the foot here. I'm just using this as an illustration. Then you grow, you get to the knee. Then you go to get to the waist. Then you grow, you get to this place, and so on and so forth. Now, Jesus is the head. But all these shoulders, all of that is all part of the body. So as we grow on the earth, our position in the body changes dynamically with time. What God assigns you to do at each point in time in your Christian life is going to be dependent on the level of your spiritual growth and your corresponding position at that time. That is why everybody cannot be hearing. Everybody cannot be seen. But a person who was seen before can become hearing later on as he grows. Let's talk to God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus, help us. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to God. Ask for fresh revelation of the reality of the body of Christ. It's not denomination. It's not scripture, pastor, redeemed, winners. We are all interconnected. We're all inside the same body. We'll see this next week. You know, but if you, depends on how you behave and how you, something would determine your position, you know, what God can do through you, you know, how you can affect the body positively or you affect it negatively. Bad parts of the body, he removes them. The Bible says every branch that doesn't bear fruit, says, takes it away. And men gather them to the fire and they are burned, even though their destiny is there. But the name is already written. But if it's removed, it will be rubbed out. It's there. It's in scripture. That's, you know, that's severe, but it's the truth. So when you know that, you behave yourself. Because it's a great privilege to be a part of God. Did you hear what I said? That's what you are. All of us are just an extension of the Godhead. We're part of God. That's why he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. What is man? An extension of God. So what God took, he took from what is inside him and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. In your presence.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence,
in your
presence,
oh Lord,
we are content.
In your presence,
in your
presence, there is life. Expressions of your love,
revelations
of your power and might,
in your presence,
in your presence,
we now
bring
a offering.
We're in the presence of our
King.
In your presence.
In your presence.
Hallelujah. expressions of your love. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I receive your mercy. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from every block or impediment of sin that would seek to hinder the flow of your life into my spirit. I receive life and power in sufficient measure now as we pray. I thank you for this word this morning. Lord, open my eyes. Help me see the reality of the body of Christ. That I am a member amongst millions of other members on the face of the earth of the body of Christ. And that, Lord, I am to contribute my own portion to that body and receive nourishment and strength and help from the Lord Jesus and from the body. Help me see this, that I am not independent, but rather that we are interdependent. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, leprikito fridia, nongiko toshke fredesk. Father, thengela brikitolomo tolomo shteke, tolomo to fredes. Lord Jesus, aprikitolomo, lambrikitolomo to fredes. Holy Spirit, nambrtolomo shakikoko. Rito Frenes, thank you for your blood, La Priketo Resheya, for your life, Renanda Kushko Frenesk, your power, Nohoko Shekifrika, Rinangato Lepredeska Fre, Lambritisko Fre, into our wills, La Priketo Romashalika Fre, into our minds, La Pradas Kufrenenga, our emotions, Rabagarikito Frenengi Tolomasha, our bodies, now. Our circumstances, Laprikito Roshka, Rininga, Namresh, our regional heavenlies, Liprakasha, insufficient measure, Rane, Tolo, Rimba, insufficient measure, Lambrega, in this regard, Nebor, Nekatuska, Nekoska, Fre, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of super clap offering.